Current events.
Cutting edge.
Faith.
It's awesome.
Encouragement on the go.
It's the SOS Radio Podcast.
We're talking about resetting our hope with Steve Berger today at SOS Radio. And Steve and his wife helped plant Grace Chapel in Franklin, Tennessee back in 1994. Since it's grown into one of the largest, most vibrant churches in Tennessee. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Scott?
Now, Steve, you joined us in Nevada a couple of years ago in the aftermath of the October 1 tragedy, and you led some trauma recovery workshops with the American Association of Christian Counselors. And we're in a new season of stress today. I mean, what have you learned about making the most of disruptions in our life, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, and this sounds so cliche, Scott, but I'll back it up with more. But just immediately, here's what we have to tell people. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. And I don't mean flannel graph Sunday school Jesus. I mean the Jesus of the Bible. I mean the Jesus who is the great I am, the Jesus who is the miracle worker, the Jesus who is the God of all comfort, the Jesus who can step into your pain and bring healing and hope. That's the Jesus we have to keep our eyes on.
You know, people who seldomly have any problem with anxiety are suddenly starting to feel that bubbling up a little bit, and maybe that's the first time in their life. And I read recently in the Harvard Business Review that feelings of anxiety are rising up to the surface, and people think it's fear or anxiety, but in a lot of situations, it's actually grief. And it's weird to discern what our emotions actually are, Steve.
You know, I guess one of the initial things we need to look at is, am I grieving over something that's real and tangible? Like in my life, I can look at my son and his car accident and him going to heaven as a result of that. I can pinpoint, hey, this is grief. Whereas worry, fear, anxiety, a lot of times, man, it's not attached to anything real at all. It is just this foreboding feeling that something awful is going to happen. Or is happening, and yet I don't know what it is. So the difference between grief and fear to me is whether something's tangible or intangible.
We're talking to Steve Berger today at SWS Radio. And when you walk through those seasons of grief, we've heard about the different stages and that's normal. But a lot of times we don't realize we're grieving and we realize there's something there. It feels like I've lost something or something has died or something's changed that's not going to bounce back the way that I liked it 3 weeks ago. What do you see when you go through that place of realizing there are things in my life today that may not ever change and I want to be okay with it, but I don't feel that way?
So again, at the risk of sounding cliche, I have to look at what is unchangeable when things do change. And what is unchangeable is the grace and mercy and presence and power of Almighty God in my situation. That is unchangeable. That is the constant that you and I can always put our faith, hope, and trust in. So in the midst of a changing world, especially right now, right, we've got to look at that which is unchanging, and that's the character and nature of God who will invade our circumstances with his hope and healing.
We're talking about keeping hope front and center as we're walking through unprecedented seasons today at SWS Radio. We're talking with Steve Berger, and in this season of social isolation, social distancing, it's important that we keep our connection with our loved ones and our friends alive, and we can use video chatting and conference calls, picking up the phone and sending text messages and Facebook Live and things like that, Steve. But a lot of times we're thinking about connecting with our friends, but this is also a time where God's knocking too, saying, hey, I'm here. This is a time to reset. Maybe there's something we can learn together.
Yeah, there's no question that in the midst of this isolation, we've got to isolate ourselves and get into the psalmist. So we've got to retreat into the secret place of God. We've got to dwell and under the shadow of the Almighty and abide in his very presence. And I think what God, one of the things that God is saying to the nation right now is, listen, don't miss what I'm calling you to. It's not just isolating yourself from people. This is about coming away with me, resetting with me, getting intimate with me again. And so I hope that people aren't missing that. God is calling his people unto himself right now. And I'm afraid that we're just sitting around watching TV waiting for the quarantine to pass when in fact God is wanting us to draw near to him.
We're talking with Steve Berger today at SOS Radio, and he's a pastor in Franklin, Tennessee. He does a lot of counseling. And Steve, you talked about abiding in God's presence. And I know there's a lot of words where we're thinking like, I'm connected with God, I'm abiding with God, I want to grow deeper with God. But what have you learned, Steve, about what abiding truly means when Jesus talks about, when you abide in me, you bear much fruit?
Yeah, listen, abiding means that I am consistently positioning myself and frequently positioning myself to be able to hear God's voice as he hears my voice. Okay, so it is consistently and frequently living in that place of communion with God. It's what the Apostle Paul called praying without ceasing. It is practicing his presence, like Brother Lawrence taught us. It is practicing his presence in the midst of all of those things. And here's the bottom line, and I surely don't want to sound harsh. I want to give hope. But you can tell whether you're abiding in God's presence or not based on your levels of fear, worry, and anxiety. If those three things are like eating your lunch, you're probably not consistently staying in God's presence. Because when you stay in his presence, there's no place for those things to rule and reign over your life.
So how do we reset, Steve? Okay, if we're there and you can say, honestly, you know, maybe there's too much fear. Maybe there's too much anxiety. Maybe that stress level you're carrying on your shoulders, you realize it's there and you want to set it down. But where do we start?
Anytime that we are falling short, as the scripture says, the greatest word in the scripture at those times is repent. That word gets a bad connotation, but listen, it's a love letter. It's an invitation from God himself to say, change your mind, change your direction. Quit running from me, start running to me. And if we'll repent from isolating ourselves from God and we draw near to him and we dwell in the secret place and we abide under his shadow, not only is God going to forgive us of our sin, of being away from him, he's then going to cause the things of anxiety, fear, and worry to fall off of us like scales off of a fish. They'll drop. And so we've got to accept his invitation to repent and draw near to him.
We're talking with Steve Berger today at SOS Radio, and he's a pastor from Franklin, Tennessee. But in this family dynamic season where a lot of people are experiencing tension, or you're home all day with the kids, or maybe you're just spending a whole lot more time with your spouse as you're both working from home and you realize anger's bubbling up, frustration's bubbling up, everything's canceled. You have a lot of things that you're holding on inside. And speak to those families who are in that position to be, how do we navigate our relationships in more of a respectful manner so we don't have shouting matches and anger bubbling out?
Everything starts with my individual walk with Jesus, my individual abiding and communing with him. Because when those things are happening and it's active and it's real and it's fruit bearing, when those things are happening, I'm going to have more patience. I'm going to have more grace for my screaming tribe of kids running through the house or my wife who's upset me. All gets back to our relationship with God. And that's just not cliche. It's true. So if I'll keep my own heart right before God, it's going to reflect on how I treat my wife, how I treat my kids, how I treat anybody for that matter, as we go through the stress of this quarantine.
This season of Lent has been really interesting because we started strong and then all the coronavirus drama hit the news and everything's been canceled and states are shutting things down. Idaho, California, and Arizona have one thing. Nevada and Montana have other things. And you get to this place where you realize, wow, Palm Sunday is this week. And we're talking with Steve Berger. He's a pastor in Tennessee. Steve, what's God been showing you through this season of Lent and all the other things in the news about what he's been doing in culture? I mean, Jesus coming in as this conquering king, so people thought, he was bringing a new focus. He was a different sort of savior. He was a different kind of Messiah than maybe people wanted at the time. But there was a reset then, just like there's a reset right now.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we as humans, especially those from in religious circles, we have our own preconceived ideas about what we think God is like or what we think God should do. And as that relates to Jesus and on Palm Sunday, right, they're waiting for the conquering hero and not the lowly Messiah. Then he resurrects from the dead. And now, oh, surely this is going to be the time when he restores the kingdom to Israel. And even then, they still got it wrong. Here's the issue. Jesus said, this is about the kingdom of God ruling and reigning in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit that will eclipse any other earthly or natural oppression, depression, pandemic, etc. This is about the kingdom of God ruling and reigning in our lives, so much so that whatever's happening around us, whether it's those nasty Romans who are persecuting and abusing us, or whether it's the quarantine or the pandemic of coronavirus, there is a kingdom available to us where we can actually live above the fear and hysteria. We don't have to endure this thing like many people think, oh, just, you know, grit our teeth and try to wait it out. No way, man. This is the church's moment, I believe this, to be walking on water, to be walking on the very thing that is threatening our lives, living above the norm, keeping our eyes on Jesus until this storm passes.
It's so interesting when you read through the story of the original Palm Sunday, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the little donkey colt. And, you know, you think about all the people that are cutting down those palm branches and they're yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, our King is coming. Lord, save us from our sin. You're thinking about repentance. They're thinking about, they're hoping that he's that Messiah that's going to redeem them and crush the Roman Empire once and for all. But it's really interesting that that street is not very long, and that street leads right to the temple, you know, that King Solomon built. And these are the same people on Sunday that are welcoming Jesus in as this Messiah, this Savior, excited about that. But just a few days later, many of these are the same people coming out of their businesses, hanging out of the windows of their homes that are yelling, crucify him. What do you think happened?
Well, it's just the exposure of mankind's heart when God doesn't do what they think he should or how he should do it. It exposes people's fickleness of faith. When you're yelling Hosanna one day and a few days later you're yelling crucify, you've got a very, very fickle faith. And I think there's a lot of people who were yelling praise the Lord 3 weeks ago before Corona really hit and are now like cursing God and abandoning their faith because how could there be a loving God and allow this type of suffering? Listen, our faith's got to be way, way, way deeper than that.
I know, because we ask all these what if questions and we jump to the negative. What if God doesn't do this? What if this doesn't happen for me? What if my job doesn't bounce back? What if I'm furloughed for the next 17 years? But there's great what if questions on the other side of things too, Steve. Like, what if God shows up and meets all your needs in a profound way? And you realize only he could do that. What if our entire economy bounces back in a weird way that we never saw coming? What if churches grow in a way this year because we were all forced to reset and rethink things and take some things off the altar that were getting in the way of what God really wanted to do?
I actually believe, Scott, that you just laid out exactly what is going to happen when this pandemic passes us. I believe every single thing you just said is going to happen for sure. Every one of those blessings, every one of those rewards, because I believe in the meantime, there's going to be such an examination of our hearts that we repent before God, and God is going to come. He's going to heal our land. He's going to forgive our sins and restore our joy. Now, let me say something else real quick, Scott, because you brought up a great point. This issue of asking why. I tell people, you know, asking why isn't a bad thing. Jesus himself asked why when he was on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? But I always tell people, you can ask why. You just can't stay there because Jesus, after asking why, then finally uttered the ultimate and final words of trust, which were, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So even though he's feeling forsaken and feeling abandoned and asking why, the last thing he says on the cross is, Father, I'm still trusting you. I'm still putting my life, my spirit in your hands. I don't understand all of this, but I still trust you. That's a real faith. That's the faith that we need right now, not the fickle faith of Palm Sunday. We need the much deeper faith of Good Friday.
We're talking about those tough questions with Steve Berger today at SWS Radio. And it's interesting with Easter week, we see Jesus hanging on the cross and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? We're just talking about asking those why questions. It's okay. Even Jesus asked the why questions, but he didn't stay there. And it's really interesting too, because I'm picturing all the people that are standing around, and the Romans wouldn't have understood this at all, but every good Jewish boy and girl who was standing there would have heard Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And they would have said, wait, I know that. Where did I hear that before? And that's actually a Psalm of David. It's a song about persecution and the mercy and the salvation of God.
Yep. Jesus was quoting Psalm 22. You're exactly right. He was quoting Psalm 22 in the moment, fulfilling just another one of the 300 prophecies that he fulfilled in his first coming.
Yeah, and it's so interesting how Jesus tied all of these things together, and the Jewish people who were standing there who would have known that would have said, wait a second, is this that Messiah that we've been waiting for? Well, he's dying on the cross, maybe not, but 3 days later when they hear that, wait, he rose from the dead, connect the dots, wait, this story goes a whole lot deeper, and this story has been in the works for thousands of years, huh?
Absolutely. The ultimate fulfillment of destiny by God sending the promised Messiah all the way back from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God first promised the coming of the Messiah after the fall of mankind. Jesus then appears on the scene and comes as the Savior of the world, the Messiah of the ages. Hallelujah to God forever and ever.
I hope you have a great Easter. I know this is a new normal for your church in Franklin, Tennessee, as you're doing a lot of things online and figuring out, like, how do we do small groups and how do we encourage people? And it's challenging all of our churches to be a little more creative, huh?
That's exactly right. And we're telling our entire staff and the pastors that I'm in fellowship with, this is not a time to retreat. This is a time to reach out. And you figure out how you can reach out in this moment. This is an opportunity to be the church's brightest, most shining hour we've had in this entire generation. And if we get it right, we'll see thousands upon thousands of people come to Christ.
Thanks for listening to the SOS Radio Podcast with Scott Harreld. If this discussion encouraged you, feel free to share it with your friends on social media.